I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to Managing Cyber Risk, a Cybercrime Magazine podcast series brought to you by eSentire, the authority in managed detection and response services. eSentire's mission is to hunt, investigate, and stop cyber threats before they become business-disrupting events. Combining cutting-edge machine learning XDR platform technology, 24/7 threat hunting, and proven security operations leadership, eSentire mitigates business risk and enables security at scale for over 1,000 organizations globally. To learn more about how eSentire delivers multi-signal MDR with complete response, visit eSentire.com. Joining me today is Mark Sangster, VP Industry Security Strategy at eSentire. Mark, welcome. It's so great to have you with us today.
It's always a pleasure to be working with you, Hillary.
So, Mark, you've been on Cybercrime Radio before. You and I have had discussions before. You've also met with Steve Morgan, our editor-in-chief, for some video interviews. But this is the first episode of the Managing Cyber Risk series by eSentire. So I'd love to start off by having you give us a quick intro of what to expect from the series.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the conversations that we're going to have, you know, over the next 6 months or so, because, you know, I want to look at cybersecurity from the business perspective. And that's why I talk about risk. And in my book, No Safe Harbor, I often use the phrase that cybersecurity is not an IT problem to solve. Rather, it's a business risk to manage. And so I want to focus on that side of it. So talk about the dollars and the cents, and what does risk look like, and what would the greatest impact be on a business, and how do we mitigate a lot of that, like through insurance or working with law enforcement or having the right tools and technologies in place. But, you know, I want to put on the sort of the C-level cap or the boardroom level cap and look at cybersecurity through that lens.
Awesome. That's going to be great. And I know we're going to have some really fantastic guests joining us too for different episodes. So I'm really looking forward to that.
As am I.
Yeah. So Mark, today we're going to talk about a pretty good subject, which is what it's like to be a new CISO. A lot of companies are, you know, adopting that position, and it's new for the company, but generally let's just talk about new CISOs. But I'd like to know first from you, kind of what are the biggest challenges CISOs are facing?
Yeah, so I cybersecurity is now a boardroom or a C-suite level topic, right? And, you know, and in the past, I used to joke that the CISO stood for the chief scapegoat officer, or that the CISO was, you know, the least interesting C-level executive to the board until they, of course, become the most interesting executive to the board, right? And that's always in bad times. I think one of the challenges that the CISOs have is they are really the bridge between the security set of technology teams like IT, working with legal, so general counsel is an example, compliance or regulatory officers, so understanding what those obligations and guardrails are, and then the business side. And so often it's just finding a common language, frankly, that you can use, right? What vocabulary resonates with your audience so that they understand what you're talking about, but also so they have the context and they take it to heart and they understand, you know, why you're coming in. And that could be simple things like, you know, why do you need more budget? Or why, you know, we pay all this money in security. Why is this, you know, one factor still a risk?
So that's certainly, I feel like you synthesized it really well, but it certainly sounds like a lot, especially when you listed out all those different departments that you have to be constantly communicating with, you know, common language. They all speak different languages. I'm just thinking about my experience with legal, compliance, and IT, you know, it's like totally different. But so I'm thinking, you know, someone who's a new CISO that can probably see, I'm sure that they're ready to go. They have all their experience, you know, they're qualified, all those things, but it can still seem probably overwhelming. So this is probably a loaded question, but I guess where should they start?
So, you know, I would start with brokering some of those relationships and those conversations. And ultimately, in when you think about scenarios that a CISO will face, like very high test, high stress types of situations, like, you know, if you had a major incident, as an example, you want to know that you have a relationship with those execs, right? That when you bear the message to them, they're focused on the message and what the implications are. And they're not focused on, well, do I really trust this person? You know what I mean? Maybe this is just another way of getting more money, right? More budget, or building their empire, or, you know, the ridiculous kind of politicking that we can see in particularly larger organizations, right? So establishing that. And then frankly, you can't boil the ocean, right? So, you know, determine where you are and create, you know, some kind of like maturity steps for yourself and say, okay, across these various security domains or controls, you know, this is what we have in place. Is it documented? Is it managed? You know, for example, so, you know, where's my team, right? If we have a bad situation, do they just revert back to heroics and sort of cowboyism? Or do they say, you know what, we have a trained practice methodology, and, you know, that's what gets me through crisis. So understanding, you know, both what kind of technical controls you have in place, but then also understand what maturity level you have. And then from there, you got a baseline, you know, and now you're kind of off to the races. And you know, that's sort of, you know, our further into our conversation is understanding where the company's trying to go, what their objectives are, and then building out that plan that's going to get you from where you are today to where you need to be tomorrow.
Excellent. And I'd like to talk further about getting buy-in and building trust and confidence, because obviously those are integral for CISOs, especially since cybersecurity can be such a foreign concept for other departments. So I guess I'm curious, you know, what are some of the best ways for CISOs to engage boards and C-suites?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's kind of a multifaceted, almost like an annual cycle that is the approach that I recommend and that we use, you know, through our consulting services, right? And it's that idea of saying, look, on an annual basis, let's conduct some kind of risk assessment. And then we're going to look at what that results, you know, bear, right? So where are our greatest gaps, right? Where do we have significant challenges? Prioritizing all of that, but making sure first and foremost that that is aligned to the business objectives. And, you know, one of the best questions I start with is, you know, from an executive chief CEO kind of perspective is, you know, what's the thing that keeps you up at night? Or what would be the most disastrous thing from a security perspective that could occur for this business? And they're going to come out with things like, you know, reputational loss or massive operational disruptions that, you know, causes them supply chain penalties and so on. Those kind of ideas. And now you say, all right, now I'm starting to get a feel for where I need to focus. And then providing, you know, some actionable reporting, providing that roadmap. And again, biggest thing, talk dollars and cents here. Talk about risk. Do not talk about ones and zeros. And you know, there's some tips and tricks as well about engaging them. Things like running tabletop exercises, scenarios, because that's the best way for them to suddenly say, hang on a second, a bunch of the decisions that have to occur in our security programs have nothing to do with security. I don't want an IT person deciding that they're going to disable all public access to our environments, because that's going to, you know, that's going to trigger effectively notification, right? Now the Wild West and everybody knows what's going on. So are we prepared to do that? Or we find an insider who's done something nefarious or malicious. Are we willing to prosecute? Because if we're not, and we're not willing to go through that process because we're afraid of what happens in litigation and what becomes public, then don't call the police, right? Don't call law and engage law enforcement. And so they understand what some of these factors are. And that's kind of the best way to start to build that trust so the C-suite understands that the CISO has their back.
And Mark, kind of additionally to that, how can new CISOs ensure that employees are participating and retaining security awareness training? Because as you know, this is kind of the thing that keeps coming up with breaches, is it's someone who didn't know and they clicked a bad link and then it just really gave bad actors the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest issues with security awareness training is that, you know, there's too many organizations kind of work from that. I call it the PEPCAC perspective, right? Problem exists between the chair and the keyboard. And okay, it's amusing for the IT department to roll their eyes about people, you know, clicking on things and downloading things and visiting cheeky websites that they shouldn't and so on. But the reality is when you do that, you're just turning people off, right? You're creating an us versus them or a name and blame kind of mentality. So you need to broker that relationship, create context, help them understand why they're doing this training. Because when they start to say, wait a minute, now I get what, I understand what could happen here. If I don't verify this email request for an invoice payment, as an example, if I'm wary of some link that I get, but it looks like a, you know, a known case file or a vendor file or something like that, and I'm going to click on it. Now then they understand how that is exploited, how that's used to then ultimately, you know, gravely harm their business. they have that awareness to say, okay, I want to participate in being the solution here, right? Now I understand why I need multi-factor authentication and why I need to kind of go through that additional step, because that takes away 80% of our risk. And so not only from a business perspective, from a personal perspective. And frankly, I think COVID has given us a great opportunity in this last year or so, because with so many people working from home, you were now transitioning to, you know, I called it, you know, we used to have BYOD, right? Bring your own device. And I started calling it BYOH, like bring your office home. And, you know, those barriers of that line between the two just, you know, blurred even more. And, you know, when you can help them understand some of the tips and tricks they have to protect the business, they can start to say, well, I can apply this in my home too, right? Like these are things I can do to make sure my family's credentials aren't stolen, that our bank, you know, our identities aren't stolen, or that, you know, money isn't absconded from us. And, you know, when you do that, right, there's a vested interest that people have, and they're far more willing to not only participate in the training, but then contribute, right? And actually, as I said, be a tripwire, be a human firewall, and protect the business.
Absolutely. And going back to the C-suite now, you know, if there was one question a new CISO could ask their new CEO, what is that? What would that be?
Yeah, you know, so I sort of covered off that, you know, what keeps them up at night. So let's flip this around. You know, would be, what security, major security event have you faced in the past, and how'd you respond? And, you know, I think that's a very telling question, because you might get the, well, we've never had anything kind of, you know, approach. And we all know that's not the case, right? We can take the whole if when, like companies having faced events in two buckets, you know, and it's like, yes, I've had one, no, I haven't, or I'm not sure. And the I'm not sure's pretty much fall into the yes, you have bucket. And we all kind of know that, right? So it's just a way of almost understanding the CEO's mindset, but then B, also determining almost like their security acumen at a very simplistic level. At least you kind of get a feel for how sophisticated they are.
Awesome. And as we've discussed, you know, there is a lot of activity and events occurring every day. So, you know, how do they become more proactive and less reactive or less responsive to company events or news stories?
So that's one of the biggest things I've seen. And all too often, right, we've had these kind of conversations, like from our clients or our customers as well, who will say, oh, you know, my boss just read some story about, let's say, you know, a pipeline hack or a major manufacturer or financial institution. And, you know, the first thing they said is, could this happen to us? Right. Mm. And generally their auto response is like, well, of course not. And then they go running to somebody to go, okay, could this really happen? Or, you know I've got gaps. What can I do to plug them? Right. And I think this is where you get more proactive. And this is where, you know, you can use threat intelligence feeds. Our threat response unit, for example, is constantly publishing. So you can get in front of it, right? Because, you know, by the time these things hit the mainstream news, the reality is they've been out in the wild and been doing damage for quite a while, right? You know, it kind of goes from it's unknown to the people in the industry have now started to suspect something or detected it, and they're kind of working through it. And it's only after most of that work's been done and we're starting to move into mitigation that, you know, mainstream press lands on it. And, you know, that's when it hits the 6 o'clock news or the top headlines above the fold. So creating that, being able to come to them and say, this is a good example of why we should do this. COVID, again, you know, not to harp on it, was a great time to say, let's do tabletops. Let's run through a simulation where a remote worker was exploited because of lack of security controls at home. That's not their fault. What would that look like in the company? So it's a good way to engage. And in fact, one of the best examples I saw of this was a general counsel and CISO duo who worked together to kind of win over their board. And these two women were they're like top of their class when it comes to this. They presented some of the challenges to their board. They almost actually kind of challenged them to doing specific phishing testing and seeing what they could socially engineer from their board. And of course, their board sort of, you know, initially took that kind of, you know, cocky kind of mentality, right? Like, well, you're not going to get anything from me. And then, of course, they were able to come back and go, I know when you graduated, you know, by the way, you said you'd attend this, you know, reunion and it doesn't exist. And, you know, here's these things we've done. And it wasn't, again, a blame or a shame. This was more of a when that person's like, wow, I didn't realize that, you know, that, I don't know, antique movie poster in the background, you know, when I'm on Zoom could have been used to socially engineer me. And when they understood, again, on a personal level, how easy it was, and that now they had credentials, how damaging that could be to the organization, they were in, right? These people were vested, engaged, and they wanted to be part of the solution. So my hat's off to them as they go through their stories and they talk about the methodology they used.
Fantastic. And I guess to close out our conversation, I'd like to hear from you, Mark, maybe some references that new CISOs or perhaps security leaders and small firms can use to build out a security program.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the challenges in small to medium sized businesses, right? Is they don't have the wherewithal, the resources and finances and so on of a major, you know, Fortune 500 or banking institution or something along those lines. And all the frameworks out there, right? Like NIST and ISO and CIS and so on, right? They're really, really good, but there's, you know, hundreds of controls in them. And so that just becomes sort of like overload, right? And they're not sure how to, you know, how do I, you know, consume from that fire hose? And so we actually have a small to medium enterprise security framework that they can use that just sort of peels it back to the basics. And then the other thing they can use is you know, they can look at a new standard called CMMC, which is Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification. Now, it's designed for government contractors, but they break security into five levels of maturity. And if they were to start with these public docs, level one, I'd certainly be very happy to sit down with them, walk them through, because it's just all the basic stuff, you know, access control and password control and restricting remote connections and all that, the fundamental stuff that if we just, you know, all did this, right, 80% of our problems would go away. But I know it's a challenging it's a very challenging issue, and often it looks very daunting. So, you know what? I'd implore them, reach out, man. We've got ways of dealing with this. We protect small and medium-sized businesses all day, every day.
That's fantastic. And thank you for offering that up to folks, Mark. And as always, such a great conversation, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks very much for our inaugural inaugural podcast, and look forward to doing many more.
Yes, me too. Exciting times ahead.
Absolutely.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Managing Cyber Risk is brought to you by eSentire, the authority in managed detection and response services. eSentire's mission is to hunt, investigate, and stop cyber threats before they become business-disrupting events. Combining cutting-edge machine learning XDR platform technology, 24/7 threat hunting, and proven security operations leadership, eSentire mitigates business risk and enables security at scale for over 1,000 organizations globally. To learn more about our sponsor, eSentire, visit eSentire.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.